T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Nick Chepkowski and Dan McNeil for the Parkins and McNeil, McNeil and Parkins show. Shep's in for Parkins, who is, I don't know, in Europe somewhere.
He's going to Europe this afternoon.
Enjoying substance.
First class.
Yeah, I think right about now is the time where he's dosing because his flight leaves at 4. I think he takes off at 4.
I know I haven't gotten my picture of the airplane tracker that I always ask for people whenever they travel.
Tracker. You watch my thing go across the whole ocean.
Whenever I travel, whenever I'm on a plane, that is, forget your movies from 30 years ago, forget your whatever else. I'm watching airplane tracker the entire time. Flight tracker, I'm a big fan of it.
He likes to know where he is.
Right. Man's easy to please.
I like the temperature read, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we're down to minus 58 Fahrenheit.
If the window opens a window, wow, that wind's really whipping. Got a big tailwind. We're going to get there a little quicker today.
Yep.
Yeah, Danny, it's interesting. The first week or so we were together, he kind of went out of his way to let everybody know that he didn't come from Means, despite his New Trierness and his North Shorean background. And yet, in the last three shows, Connor, you and I, we're having...
Good for him.
We're having, like, Yurko and I used to, when Harry Tynowitz used to talk about his dad having a horse in the Derby. I mean, every day this week, he's referenced a different European vacation from his youth.
Well, we were in Spain.
Yeah.
No, the extent of my upbringing, and it was fine, it was middle class, good education. I can point Europe out on a map to you.
Yeah.
That's all I can do for you with Europe.
I
can successfully demarcate it there on a map.
Seems nice enough.
He doesn't own it a little bit more. I just own it. Say, you know, yesterday he kind of came around to it. He said, my parents worked very hard to make sure I had nice things.
That's great.
Don't back off on it.
Well, Parkins he tries to present himself like he's a politician. Parkins isn't a millionaire or billionaire, but he always gets in front of the campaign camera, puts on the plaid shirt, and acts like everyday Joe in front of you and I.
A plaid Chicago sports t-shirt, actually.
That's right. With a picture of William Perry on it.
Run for governor of this state. The Wolves are making big plans for their 25th anniversary. Get your season tickets now and receive exclusive benefits. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. Fellas, a little bit of news as we sat down to do transition.
Yeah.
It sounds like, was it a Rosenthal report? I'm looking through the glass.
Ken Rosenthal
has the Brewers fading in the Manny Machado sweepstakes, which I find fairly interesting because I, for a lot of reasons, some of them perverse, I like the idea of the Brewers throwing it all in there and seeing what happens
to Manny Machado. Right?
I don't know if it's the best investment of all of their prospects, which is what it might take, but I like the heat on it. I really do.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing if that is to be true, and it just seems like it's everyday negotiations. We hear this every trade deadline. So-and-so's out. Oh, those talks are dead, and then a week later, they're the favorite again. So who knows what it's actually going to bring. But for the Brewers, part of me as a Cubs fan wants the Brewers to do it. Yes, it might make this year more difficult. The Brewers have something brewing here, for lack of a better term.
So why would you want them to go out and get him if they've got something going?
Because they're not
going
to re-sign him. They don't have a chance in hell to re-sign him.
Well, you don't want them to get in your way of your second championship, Shep.
I still don't. This will sound horrible, but I trust 162. Over the course of it all, even with Manny Machado added to their lineup, I trust 162 to play out.
These Cubs fans are cocky, aren't they?
It doesn't lie to you after you have 6 months of it.
You get to the All-Star break with the best offense in baseball, and one starter can't throw strikes. And we've talked a lot about
one can't find a mound.
Okay, one can't find the mound. That's fair. But he's not going anywhere. There's nothing new going on. But you guys are in panic. And that's why I asked this morning during the first transition, can't they just stay put? Can't they just stay put and still win?
It might be. I mean, other than they won't stay put in terms of bullpen arms. They will tinker on the edges. They will add something, whether that's Zach Britton on maybe perhaps a lower deal. Although Jonah Carey, when we had him on this afternoon, throughout the idea, and we should have pressed it on, but we went on to the Cardinal situation. Throughout the idea of Machado and Britton kind of being together in a trade package for them, I don't know if that's indicative of management and ownership there and Baltimore being all kinds of screwed up, but it was odd to me that those two were linked together in a trade package. I don't expect that to happen myself, but whether you can get Britton on a lower deal, whether you've got another
Mr. Oriole over here to our right,
it's more of just the demand, right? You'd have to find a team that needs a slugging third baseman or shortstop and
wants to pay the price.
97 mile an hour sinker that is unhittable when it's good and very hittable when it doesn't sink.
Rich, I always favored the happier Oriole from the Brooks Robinson era as opposed to the angry Oriole.
Second Brooks Robinson mention of the show.
Oh, is it really?
Because of the Orioles logo.
Yes.
That's all
same thing. This is the Angry Brooks. Bird, and that's just how I feel about the team right now.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
Very angry.
I'll raise you an Andy Etchebaron. That's
okay.
Before your time.
That is before my time.
He was the first unibrow guy baseball card I ever had was backup catcher Andy Etchebaron of the Orioles.
Wow.
Man,
what was your first?
It was like Jousy and Bill Joust level thick, too. They could have birds nesting in that puppy.
Anyone else have a unibrow baseball card they remember? Because for some reason, I do. Paul Kilgus in my 1990 Cubs card of him with the one unibrow straight across the front.
Were those cards in the binder that was always up on our liquor table?
Probably.
When we lived together?
I'm sure they were.
I paged through one of them once, and one of as I was going for the whiskey when you and I lived together, the Bushmills that was up there.
Us and Brent Musburger, right?
One of the yes.
How long did you guys cohabitate?
Year. Roughly?
Yeah.
A little bit less because
10 months.
I think
it was 10 months.
Lease was up.
Was it a good year?
It was.
It was
actually,
I don't remember much of it.
Where? No, it was a little. Well, we were on,
right off of Southport.
Yeah, right by A.J. Hudson's.
Okay.
That was the home game for Shep and I for
A.J. Hudson's
good long
or Cullens.
Time.
Pour some out for Cullens because I don't know what that turned into, but it's no longer with us.
It's a J. Crew or something. Southport's getting really yuppie.
Were you both working here at the time?
Yeah, we were.
How did I miss that?
My last year.
No. Was I gone?
In a half year?
I don't think so.
No, you were.
You might have been gone for a couple weeks or a month and a half or so, but I don't think you're gone for
over a 10-month stretch.
More than usual. Think the whole time. I moved in on St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Connor was covering. Holy God.
Connor was covering spring training baseball at the time, and I think he came back from that on a Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Was doing the midday show back then, and I think Connor and I proceeded to get drunk every afternoon.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The first like two and a half
that
weeks in order
out.
To break the ice.
Were you guys together long enough to have roommate complaints to the point where, oh God, am I really sick of this? It usually takes longer than a year for that to go down.
So. Really, the only thing we got into was
cleanliness.
Was keg tapping. That was a thing we argued about a little bit because I have a very particular way of doing it, I am insane. And then
type of keg also.
Type of keg.
That was usually.
But you're always going to run into
Bush
that.
Bush Light type and me, Connor,
man,
did not approve.
At the time, the man could not cook to save his
That's
life.
Fair.
Who's
That's
cooking
fair.
For their roommates?
No. Okay, I'm not. Right. I wasn't asking him to cook for me.
Okay.
It was literally. It was to the, and some of this is on me because I'm a crazy person, especially to live with. And how he did it, I have no idea. But watching him put together food in that kitchen was horrifying. I mean, just like the cans of Hormel chili dumped into God knows what, and then you just take it back into the living room and eat it. I wanted to cook for the man myself. I felt like I needed
maybe that's
help.
What I was trying to get at. Yeah, if it didn't involve a grill, if I couldn't just throw some meat on a grill,
which
then
by
I
the
really,
way he did often, and that was
I really had no interest in learning to cook at that point.
What
I guess I've grown
thing.
Up a little bit since then.
What is this about your specialized keg tapping technique?
Well, you have to.
Connor's very particular about some strange things.
Yeah, very much. Like, I mean, if he's got any complaints, it's going to be that.
It would be. I was very much more of the, all right, get a keg, whatever. Miller Lite, Busch Light, whatever it is. I don't care. It's beer. It'll be drinking by the end of the night. And Connor's the one brewing his own beer in the closet.
That's true.
It's
I
just
did
like,
brew. That's true. I did brew beer.
Like, see, this is coming. Now it's
that's
coming out. Now we're starting to
That's
up.
Right. I did
it's
brew
like,
beer
all right,
at the house.
This is a little different than I'm used to.
Chef walks into the kitchen. I got a chemistry experiment going on in there. That beer did not turn out well either. Drank it anyway, but it did not turn out.
Yeah, we're at the point in our lives where if you paid for beer in any capacity, you better drink it because you don't know where you're going to pay for the next one.
It goes bad if you let it out that long.
Definitely.
I cannot remember the last time I had a male roommate. It's you might not
well,
have
lived,
even been alive.
Connor went on to greener pastures.
Shep was my last. I've lived alone since and been a better man for it, but that's not
because
Shep's fault. That's mine.
Drove him to live alone?
No.
Not bad enough.
No, he had kind of decided it before.
Yeah.
The only reason we were roommates was because somebody didn't pay his half of rent, and there became an opening.
I'd kick him out.
Somebody? No, not somebody here.
No, not somebody here. Just,
it seemed like you were protecting someone. No, which is not like you. Remember. For the next 4.5 hours, I expect you to protect nobody.
Trust me. No, there's no protection whatsoever. But yeah, that Connor led to live by himself, and I got to inherit Brendan McCaffrey.
Wow.
It was quite a day.
That's something. Listening to Rich, you outline what coverage changes there are for those covering the Chicago Bears or any NFL team this year got me to thinking about how unfortunate it is for guys who are doing this at this point in the world's history as opposed to when I first started doing this many years ago, the access that you guys don't get. And I don't know when it changed to become so secretive that you're celebrating that you get to talk to a positional coach once a month.
The way we also have to go about these coverage plans is to plan for no access at all. How do you cover the team with no access? And then whatever access you get, it's almost a bonus. We know we're going to get it. You know there's going to be news every day. But in terms of the analysis, you always want to be as informed as possible when you're doing this. And how do you get through that? How do you get through those weeds? It's really a fog.
So do you have the ability, if you see Harry Hiestand at Olivet Nazarene after practice and you're walking back to the – do you have the opportunity to talk to him or do you have to wait for that once a month when you can talk to him about his offensive line?
He's an example that probably needs to be distinguished from coaches who have been there who I know. So the defensive coaching staff, for example, at least those guys have been around. I could say hello to one of those guys. We'd probably have a smoother conversation than Harry, who I just happen to have never met. I've never met him. He is coming back from Notre Dame and then a previous stint with the club. And so there are writers there who know him. Yes, you could stop him and speak to him right there. Now, is he going to be scanning, waiting for a team PR staff or perhaps the head coach to avoid? Doesn't want to be seen, doesn't want to be known as the guy who's friendly with media, talking to media. I mean, I think
it's
this stuff is problematic.
When did this change? It used to, the old, 250 North Washington, as Ditka once said on these airwaves, if you wanted Vince Tobin or Dick Stanfield or Dave McGinn, whoever you wanted to talk to, there they are walking to the parking lot. You spend 15 minutes with them. You didn't have to ask for permission.
This continues to get worse every year. So it is a yearly erosion of the access, and you'd almost
Bears
have to work
driven or is it NFL driven?
I think it does happen everywhere, but the Bears certainly don't resist it. And in fact, just from my experience with the Redskins covering them for 5 seasons, the Bears are worse. They do more of the restricting.
Is it?
I'm not surprised to hear that.
Is it John Fox based and it's just they take the lead off of that, or is it more
bigger?
The
up high,
above
right?
That kind of put it down.
It sounds Philipsian to me.
Yes, I agree with that. I think it's everything. And as we talked about on the show, the NFL has changed its media policy this year that position coaches are now required to speak once a month to media, as opposed to only one time during training camp and one time during the regular season in the years leading up to this. If those rules had not changed, Matt Nagy would not have let his assistant coaches talk. I mean, he would have just done the absolute minimum.
Wow.
Because Andy Reid doesn't like to let his assistant coaches talk. So you're following this chain of command, and you always have to look back through a coach's tree. Who are their influences?
Right.
What have they taught them about this working? And in the Reid case, the one voice. I don't think it serves them well. I don't think it serves a team well when the fan base is eager to learn about developmental players, and the Bears happen to have a lot of them. You know, they've gone young. They are building. Teach your fans about these guys and get them invested.
Yep.
They don't know how to be covered.
And that's the thing that's interesting to me is that the Eagles, obviously just win the Super Bowl, but you go on their website, was it last year?
Oh my gosh, this is a perfect example.
And
man,
you have,
example.
I mean, whether it's Doug Peterson or assistant coaches, literally breaking down game tape of like, this went wrong here. This is what we're looking for here. Breaking down, being informative, to forget the media part, but just to fans available for anyone to see. And if it's trying to cover up, oh, got to protect the game plan, got to protect the X's and O's, like they are doing the complete opposite and going and winning the Super Bowl.
John DeFilippo, who interviewed for the Bears coaching job.
Coach Flip was
on that program. I forget what it was called on the Eagles website. Mm-hmm. They did a fantastic job. They had him in front of a video screen, and this was very well produced. It was touchdown throws by Carson Wentz, and he was explaining a route combination where the tight end would break to the corner and the receiver in, and DeFilippo saying, Wentz right here is reading the safety's shoulders. If the safety turns his shoulders to the sideline, then Wentz knows, you know, this is going to come open and he's throwing there. I mean, that is detailed strategy. Mm-hmm. You know what the Eagles thought? Stop us.
Right.
You know, stop us. Not only are we good enough to beat you anyway, that this still isn't going to help you because you don't know when it's coming. Right. But what it does do is it inspires confidence from the fan base. And all of us, I mean, even in the media, too, we're wide-eyed at this. You can't believe you're getting this type of behind-the-curtain insight, and you think, I believe in this staff. I believe in this organization. I believe in this team. And it reaches your fan base in a way that these teams are too close-minded to do.
Well, certainly I wouldn't expect that out of anybody at 1,000 Football Drive. That's not going to happen there.
Not anytime
soon.
It would
be the last place it would happen.
It's a level of restriction of access that's happening across sports, too. I mean, it's not just the NFL.
Well, right,
you're seeing it in hockey.
With the Hawks, after they won their first cup, that access that was so easy prior to that, that changed immediately.
The day after they won the Stanley Cup, I sent out there to, Harry
Carey.
Were you
at the Broadstop?
No, that was Bears Packers.
That was Bears Packers. Yeah, that was a trip.
It was a combination of media growing hugely because they had just won, and you also had the hangover of the limo in Vancouver.
Yes.
And Patrick Kane's first summer after that cup when he
Many
had the Buffalo
hangovers.
Cab driver. So, I mean, you could Patrick Kane had a lot to do with that.
Yeah,
himself.
It's a fair wonder if that team looked different, is constructed different, or just is older. Like, let's say it's 3 years until they actually win a cup. Is that pullback of media access the same as it was after 10?
Yeah.
If the one goal's not accomplished in 2010, if it takes until they beat Boston.
If those are more mature players, I mean, you still go through some of the things that Patrick Kane went through, I guess. But
yeah, a little bit later on, we are going to, I guess we're going to give some closure to a degree to the Hawks championship era with yesterday's Hossa trade and everything that's come out of that. We started talking for a few minutes yesterday about retired jersey numbers and whether the Hawks someday will hang 81 from the rafters. And we'll get into that conversation a little bit further today because it's time to bury that club.
I think
it would be nice to go to bed every night thinking Jonathan Toews will be 26-year-old Jonathan Toews again, but he won't. And Duncan Keith, who turns 35 next week, is not ever going to be the same player. He can't log those minutes, not even a fraction of those minutes anymore.
We had Jay Zawoski on this morning talking about the Hossa trade and kind of the closure there. And we've all gone through this closure already, I guess. But the magnitude of his signing, not only for that team, but you look at the narrative itself that was around Hossa, having been in two Stanley Cups prior to that season and chasing this thing, but not getting the kind of like, not getting the blowback that Kevin Durant got for chasing a ring, or that even LeBron got when he went to, I don't know, Hoax is not at the same level of notoriety. He's a hockey player after all, and not the best one in the league, though certainly top tier at the time. That, I mean, his story is incredible to have followed. And then he arrives at the Blackhawks with the drought they'd had and the success they get afterward. I mean, it's an incredible signing that has more to do with just the hockey that he played. It's amazing to me, really.
Yeah, he's the most significant free, in my opinion, in Chicago sports history. People could argue for Carlton Fisk, I suppose. There's a good argument to be made there. But
John Lester's on the list.
Yeah,
terms of like actual accomplishments, he's won three championships. He went to All-Star games how many times? He represented Slovakia in the Olympics, I think, twice as a member of the Chicago Blackhawks.
They wrote songs about him in this town.
That's right, they did.
It's amazing.
And unlike Proby, he won't snort up the town.
you're a music guy, Rich.
I'm looking at your shirt right here, this B-52 shirt.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say yes because I don't want to say yes and then not know what you're talking about.
Well, I got Connor's take on this a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
The Bill from Hell is happening Saturday night at Wrigley Field, a concert that makes zero sense whatsoever with the Pretenders and Journey and Def Leppard all playing on the same bill. And I just, I need someone to vent to on that.
Yeah, no, you can just vent. None of those do anything for me.
Neither of the two of them. You can't pair two of them and make sense out of that. It's just, it's hideous. It makes no sense. And I'm a big Pretenders fan, and Wrigley's not a great concert venue anyway.
It's the neighborhood is a decent enough concert venue. I mean, I live close enough. I've heard every show that's ever been put on there.
The best part of a Wrigley concert is if you're on a rooftop or you're in a, if you're down the block, a block or two.
Right.
Like, you're enjoying a beer on the front lawn or back lawn or on the patio. That's the best way to take in a Wrigley concert.
Heard every note of every Billy Joel concert that's been there, or who else was it I heard? Billy Joel,
Elton John, who else has been there?
Okay, Pearl Jam. If I'm going to go, I'm going to go. I'm not just going to go hang out
and
on...
and park at my place and then just hang out outside Connor. And have beers.
Sit on his backyard.
I've brewed some beer, over and taste the homebrew.
Closet edition.
Learn how to tap it. I have it. I've
stopped that. Yeah, Connor will make his own. One way to do it. Fresh off the farm in Wisconsin, and you'll enjoy your night.
That's a good time. What else you got coming up? I know the your guy starts for the Blue Jays this evening,
That's
too,
right.
So I assume there's
it's Ryan Brucki Day.
Devoted to Ryan Brucki.
Stand up, scream, it's Ryan Brucki Day, and high-five the guy, your
call
neighbor
your friends,
next to you.
Call your neighbors.
That's right. Taking out of the Boston Red Sox, so I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit. We're going to do a little bit of hot hockey, close the book on this dynasty. Mark Lazarus is going to join us in the 2 o'clock hour.
Love Mark.
There. Coom Doggy Dog's going to join us from out west in San Diego at 5 o'clock.
Baseball tonight returns.
Yeah, 3 more days until the All-Star
break.
And then a break.
Which
and
might
then you
be
get,
needed.
Yeah, I think so. Probably fix Anthony Rizzo, or at least try to. Maybe we'll do that at some point today.
Right.
Ton to get to with all that, though.
Enjoy it, fellas.
Thanks.
Looking forward
to it.
Have a
great weekend.
You too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.